The concern now worldwide is that some wacko somewhere is going to get their hands on either a suitcase bomb or some kind of device, and they're going to let it go. And I think that could create all kinds of worldly problems.
Absolutely, and it brings us back to the subject of the human psyche, because this is what is you know, setting off the suitcase nuke. This is what is starting the war. This is what is deciding to have a genocide. It's the human psyche. This is the source of our greatest accomplishments, but also our greatest perils.
Are you picking up, because you are an expert in dream interpretation, are you getting signs from people, and I mean collectively now, not just one or two, that something again is about to happen? Are you feeling that, hearing that?
Absolutely. It doesn't provide us with a timeline, but it does provide us with a pattern that I call the singularity archetype. I could give you examples.
Okay, and also, though, when this singularity occurs, has history shown you, even though you just said there is no timeline, has history shown you when events normally occur, when the masses begin to feel things?
Well, those are the tremors that precede shifts in the inner tectonic plates that then result in cataclysmic events in the human spheres, like a world war. And when something becomes activated, it can happen the next day, or it may take a while for it to build up to a great crescendo.
Okay, well, give me some of those examples.
Okay, well, one of them is one that Lex was kind enough to post some images that people can look at on your website.
On website. Okay.
And this is an earlier example of the dream. It was recorded by one of Jung's most brilliant colleagues, Marie-Louise von Franz. And if you're looking at the image, in the first dream, the dreamer is standing with a spirit guide, and she has this terrible, fearful apparition appears. It's the dark wing of Satan.
Yeah,
it looks like a
wing, I'll tell you that.
Right, it absolutely does. And she's terrified, and it's coming down, and it's touching the earth in the Middle East, the place where the Antichrist is often said to appear and so forth. And this seems like an extremely ominous portent. In the next dream that you'll see further down, she is witnessing exactly the same event, but instead of standing on the earth, more of the human-bound perspective, she is now up in the heavens. And what looked like the dark wing of Satan is now revealed to be the white wafting cloak of God. And she draws a spiral of white light in the sky, and there's a Jesus that's drawn there, sort of reaching out toward man. And this has a completely different feeling. She now sees that what seemed apocalyptic and seemed the descent of a divine darkness was actually some kind of divine intervention. And the spiral is one of the classic elements that turns up in the singularity archetype. And as von Franz points out, the way the spiral is oriented, it seems to be inviting the viewer to enter a different dimension.
And then there's that horrible picture of that kid from the Village of the Damned.
Right. And, you know, in the Village of the Damned and in Childhood's End, we see these exact elements repeated. Now, Childhood's End takes about 4 or 5 minutes to explain, so I probably won't go into that one. But let me give you a couple other dreams that have these same specific elements. One was somebody told me about 3 years ago, a young man. He had a dream, the first part of which absolutely terrified him, because he was out in the woods and the whole earth seemed to be shaking apart.
Mm-hmm.
And the sky became completely black. And something horribly ominous seemed to be happening, and it seemed like, you know, that the earth was being destroyed. Suddenly, when his fear began to almost peak out, there's a break in the clouds, and light starts streaking through. And now, through the break in the clouds, an eagle comes spiraling down, and as it gets closer to him, he sees that it has in its talons a golden egg, and the golden egg has an aura of light around it. And the eagle deposits the egg at the top of a tree. So we see this image of a golden age,
mm-hmm.
which is something we'll get into when we talk about 2012, of a potential yet to be born, and the fact that it's an egg. We see the spiral, and we see that the dark precedes a divine occurrence that suggests a further birth and evolution. And the third dream, the last dream I'll tell you about, is a little bit more scary. This happened to a man I met last summer who was a veteran. He had been with the military in the Nicaragua situation in the 1980s.
Sure.
His job was a minesweeper. And when he left of the military, as we know, there are more psychological casualties and more than physical casualties. He had real post-traumatic stress disorder because of some of the things he experienced. And the worst thing that he experienced or that haunted his imagination and his dreams involved a school where some kids had wandered into the schoolyard and some horrible group had put mines in the schoolyard. And these two boys over the weekend, where no one knew where they were, had been blown up. And when school came back into session, they discovered the bodies.
Oh, my.
And so he was called in. He had to remove those mines, and he also had to remove the bodies so that the parents could bury them.
Mm.
And this was extremely hard for him to do because these bodies were, it's a very tropical country, were in the worst possible state you could care to imagine.
Sure.
And he threw up a couple times. He gathered his courage. And he went out there with a blanket, and he removed the bodies, and he wrapped them up so the parents could bury them, and he removed the mines from the schoolyard. Well, a couple of years after he came back from the war and was having tremendous psychological problems, he went through a devastating series of six nightmares that were all the same. And what happened in the nightmare was that he's hearing one of these boys who he found in the schoolyard call out to him for help. And in each case, when he would run up to the boy, they would be in this terrible state, a state where no one could possibly even be calling for help. And he would hear that death rattle coming from his voice box. And then the dream would end. And when he would awake from the dream, he would be in a cold sweat. It felt like it was driving him absolutely insane. He was even contemplating suicide. And the dream recurred six times, and it seemed to be absolutely black. It was just the most unredeemable kind of dream. With, you know, such a horrific ending. The seventh dream, everything happened just like the other six, but he sees spiraling out of the sky a white raven just as he gets to the boy. And the boy went through the death rattle and seemed to be lying there as a, you know, horribly dismembered corpse. The bird lands on the boy's head. The boy gets up and starts dancing.
Dancing?
Right. And now the raven looks at him, and it does a kind of weird dance, almost like what a shaman would do, with sort of its wings spread out, but, you know, and kind of dancing around. And it says, "I think you ought to see this," it says to him. And now it flies up, and it flies in a spiral motion. Again, we have the spiral thing. And as it starts creating the spiral, he is pulled up into the spiral as if it were sort of a tornado. And then he has an absolute epiphany, one of these experiences that a mystic has, where he sees all of reality revealed to him. He steps outside of time. He reaches a personal end-of-time experience. And when he comes back from that dream, he is completely transformed spiritually, and he has gone from being in a chaotic, suicidal state to where he now has a far more spiritual grip on life.